This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
At 12:45, Grant and Danny here on The Fan. The Browns released a hilariously rollicking, just, I think it's farcical, but I can't really tell, ridiculous hype-up video for their fans. And I don't know if they knew they were going to get crushed for it or not. Unfortunately, they get crushed for a lot of the things they do because of the Browns. But we've got to talk about it. That's coming up in about 40 minutes here on Grant and Danny. Before we talk about the Nats on the Beltway Blitz, let's kick things off on the gridiron. Blitz every day at noon, the teams in town you care the most about, including the Redskins. Craig Hoffman has been in Richmond with Chris Russell, covering the team for us on 106.7 The Fan. Craig, I want to start with Phil Taylor at nose tackle. He was a good starter at one point in time out of Baylor for the Denver Broncos. We've seen him in Cleveland effective as well. Do you think he is the projected first nose tackle on this depth chart come September?
Well, I know they put him as the starter on the unofficial one, which I laughed at because I think he's gotten fewer first-team reps than the other two guys, A.J. Francis and Joey Embu. I was under the impression that Embu was the guy who's going to be the starting nose, but we obviously have a long way to go, and that was still not solidified by any means. I would say Embu is the leader in the clubhouse right now, but, I mean, if you look at who's got the most upside, most talent, Phil Taylor was awesome. Everyone thought, like, this guy's going to be great coming out of college. And so could he? Yeah, he absolutely could. I don't think he's in that position right now, even though they put him there on the unofficial depth chart. On the D-line, I much more believe what Tom Sula told us last week, where there is no depth chart.
Tight end position fascinates me. Reed and Paul both injury-prone, so maybe you keep an extra guy. Vernon Davis, good. Jeremy Sprinkle, fifth-round pick. Derek Carrier has played well when he's gotten an opportunity. How many do they keep? There's five there.
Yeah, I don't think they're keeping five, and I don't think that's shocking to anybody. I think Carrier could be on the bubble. I actually asked Mike Jones on Sunday on my show, like, who's a player that we think is probably going to make the roster, but we shouldn't be surprised if he doesn't. And Carrier's going to be brought up in part because they did spend that draft pick on Sprinkle, and he's such a intriguing talent is the way I think I would describe it. You know, his size especially, and then, you know, his athletic ability, that he'd be a hard guy to sneak through the practice squad potentially, that another team might wind up picking him up if they do put him on waivers. So I think they probably wind up, you know, keeping four, maybe. I mean, because Niles Paul is obviously such an important special teams guy. If you think they're going to either keep Sprinkle or Carrier as kind of insurance slash special teams, and then Davis and Reed, I would think four is the magic number, which is obviously more than most teams keep. So then you got to find somewhere else where you're going to be a little thinner. But because Niles Paul plays all four units of special teams, and whoever that fourth guy is, I believe Wood as well, I think they do wind up keeping four. And if I had to guess, it'd be Carrier or Sprinkle is on the way out. And I would lean Sprinkle right now based off what Mike told me on Sunday.
Craig Hoffman, the latest from Richmond. Gruden news conference today, Cousins news conference today, and then one practice at 1:30. So it's a busy day at training camp. Is the Bashaud Breeland blow up behind us now?
Apparently, but I would say it's one of those things that's behind us but simmering, right? It's not just gone forever, and especially now with a guy with his history. Like, I think football coaches, football players, like, they've all had this from youth football all the way to the NFL, where guys have incidents, and really in all sports, right? Like, if you played a sport growing up, you had a teammate where you maybe had a blow up, and then you move on because you're united for a common goal. But if it happens multiple times, at what point do you go, all right, I don't really know about this guy. Is he in it for the right reasons? All those questions. And I think especially on a football team that's got currently 90, then we'll have 75, and then 53 guys, not everyone's just going to be able to dismiss this, especially if they've seen multiple times with these incidents with Breland. So I think that's something they're going to have to manage, but I don't think it's something that's going to, you know, but it was, in theory, it was gone by the afternoon practice because he was back out there. And I think in Jay Gruden's mind, you just move forward while being, you know, in the back of your mind going like, we have to keep an eye on it.
Wide receiver, Pryor, Doxson, Crowder, Grant are all going to make the team. That's four. I'd imagine Brian Quick would be in the mix. Maurice Harris is going to be on the roster. I'm guessing they keep six. Would it be those guys, or could someone like Robert Davis or James Quick or Zach Pascal make it as the last guy in who can play teams and surprise people?
Honestly, man, it wouldn't surprise me if one of those guys snuck in. I think Brian Quick has been the best of the other receivers. Like, he consistently has made plays. And when I was down there, and like, he's not, you're like, okay, that's a real NFL receiver. This is a guy who's obviously had some very productive years in the league already. But you, all these other guys, they would make some plays. Like, there's some flashes there. It wouldn't surprise me if multiple of those guys wind up on the practice squad. And at the end of the day, that might be what it winds up being about, where if they make a decision and go, we think this is a guy we can get on the practice squad and maybe invest in a little bit long term, but we know we're so set at receiver right now, he's not going to play a whole lot. So then it comes down to either is one of those guys a standout on special teams, like you said, and then how viable is it to keep them on the practice squad? Where a guy like Brian Quick, that's obviously not an option. Brian Quick is either on your roster or he's not. So as long as they feel like he can fulfill the special teams responsibilities, I think he's great insurance as a guy who can, you know, if Brian Quick has to start a game for you because Doxson or Pryor is out for some reason, like, I don't think you're screwed there. I think he's a real NFL receiver, and that's a nice bit to have. A bit of depth to have on your roster.
Thanks, buddy. Keep up the good work. We'll be listening to the Hoffman Show this weekend.
Thank you, Grant. Talk
you
to you
bet.
Soon.
From one Craig H. to another, let's talk baseball. Heisty, the Heist star, Craig Heist, is with us. How about Max last night?
Gotta love him. I mean, you know, what neck injury, right? Comes out, throws seven innings, doesn't get a decision, but strikes out nine along the way. And the best part about it for me is it just goes to show you how good Giancarlo Stanton is, because Max just dominated him the first two times up. A weak check swing, which was a called strike by the first base umpire. Max blows a fastball by him the second time up, and then Stanton just drilled a home run on a fastball the third time up. But he gave up two runs, and it doesn't look like he's any worse for wear, and that's the good news for the Nats going forward.
You and I go back almost 20 years at this point in baseball ballparks, sparring over different topics. I'm wondering, I know how much you love Mike Messina, but have you ever enjoyed watching a pitcher work as much as Scherzer? That's the thing I can't get past, is just when he starts, I think it's such a treat as a fan to get to watch it.
Well, you know, it's hard to compare those two. And, yeah, I did like to see Mike, but the greatest thing about Mike for me was, of his 270 wins, Grant, was the fact that even on days where he didn't have his best stuff or he knew he didn't have it, he made it up as he went along, and that's one of the things that made him successful. But when you watch Max Scherzer, I mean, he comes out of the gate and he goes right after you, and it doesn't matter what the team, what the matchups are. You know he's going to give up some home runs here and there because of the fastball, but he's just dominating, and he's a lot of fun to watch. And, yeah, probably one of my favorite pitchers to have watched down through the years.
Bryce Harper's season is not being talked about enough. He's got an OPS over 1,000, an average at about 330, with the power of almost 30 home runs after his 29th last night. He's basically doing what he did 2 years ago again.
And I was just going to say, his numbers are eerily similar to what was going on 2 years ago when he was the MVP, and yeah, they're not being talked about enough, but again, one of these things that happens, I think, between now and the end of the year, the more this team runs away with this division and gets themselves in the playoffs, I think people will look, and if he's not going to be the MVP, he's got to be right up there with everybody else who is in contention for that.
How about the bullpen? 20 innings now for the new trio of Kinsler, Madsen, and Doolittle. Sub-2 ERA, they haven't blown a lead, they're perfect in save chances. Seems like Rizzo struck gold here.
Yeah, he really did. And while I don't think he went out and got that bona fide closer that everybody talks about, like a Zach Britton, but boy, two of these guys, or all three actually, have closing experience, and Kinsler certainly was getting the job done with the Twins. But right now it looks to me as though that back end of the bullpen has pretty much been solved, and it's kind of like a three-headed monster now for Dusty Baker. And I'm certainly nowhere near as nervous in close games as I was earlier in this year in the first half of the season.
Taylor, Worth, Strasburg, which of those guys comes back first? When are we going to see
that? I think for me, Grant, it's probably going to be Strasburg. He's going to throw another bullpen. We'll see how that goes, and I expect him to miss one more, maybe two, but then I think he'll be back, probably by the end of the month for sure. But I think they want to just be as careful as they can, because here's a guy that's missed two postseasons, and they want him around for this one, because I don't think they can win and get out of that first round without him. You want all your bullets going into the playoffs, and for me, that's a crucial thing for Dusty Baker to have a healthy Steven Strasburg.
Thank you, Craig. We appreciate it, buddy. We will be listening to your updates from the park in the coming days on this lengthy homestand.
All right, man. Talk to you later.
And speaking of the Nationals, Max Scherzer will join us tomorrow for his weekly appointment on Grant and Danny during homestand, so make note of that. We'll get you the details before the end of the show on exactly when he will be on the air. We talked yesterday about Bryce Harper's flirtation with Chicago. We got into the conversation about just how important it is to keep him here in Washington long term. We've been talking about that with Kirk Cousins for 2 years now. What if we compared Cousins Redskins, Harper Nationals against one another as it pertains to the importance to get one of these deals done? I'll explain next. Grant and Danny on the Fan.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s?
It's better over here.
Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.